Oh, you can stand up if you want, I guess. Your call. Oh, it's my call? Oh, it's got the little star. Is that what that means? All right. It is good for us to be here. So where does that leave the wise, those who debate, the scholars? God has shown this world's wisdom to be foolishness.
We proclaim.
Uh-oh. There we go.
We proclaim Christ crucified and the power and wisdom of God.
God's foolishness is wiser than any human wisdom. God's weakness stronger than any human strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sins in the presence and of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you for our whole hearts. We have not loved you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading is from Exodus, the 20th chapter. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 19 responsively with me. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And the heavens will set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising.
The law of the Lord is perfect, revising the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are hay and gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors, clear from the unfaithful?
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who was wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God bless you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. Both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins on the money of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show for us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. So, Jesus isn't talking about any, regular temple. He's talking about the temple of his body. He's going to be crucified and risen in 3 days. There's the sermon about the gospel. That's as far as we're going on the gospel today. If you want to know about the Ten Commandments, we're doing that on Wednesdays during Lent, or go to Facebook and find the YouTube posts, both of which things I will excoriate in my sermon today. Not the Ten Commandments, but, Facebook and YouTube. There's something that's really interesting about the psalm today. It's my favorite when it comes to psalms. What did it say? Oh man, this is going to take a while. It said something about how, the law is easy to understand. Isn't that the problem with the laws of the Bible? They're easy for us to understand, but hard to follow. That's a bummer. Anyway, so that's why today we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians. Corinthians today talks about wisdom. Wisdom. I love the word wisdom, and I think it requires us to explore that word. So I'm going to define it for us in the way that's convenient for me and for my sermon: knowledge and understanding. Does that sound like a fair definition of wisdom? So we're going to go with it. We're going to go knowledge and understanding. That is wisdom. And where do we go to seek knowledge and understanding? So, what was that?
Books.
Books. Books. This isn't a rhetorical question. Everyone, it's meant for you to answer. Where do you go? What do you do when you want to gain knowledge or understanding? Now, before I field any more answers, I'm going to make a rule that pretend you're not in church and pretend you're not looking up at a pastor. I don't want your Sunday school answer. Everyone knows what the correct Sunday school answer to any question is, right? What is it? The Bible? See, that's what the other church said too. Didn't anybody ever teach you that Jesus is the answer to everything? Come on, Jesus, or the Bible, or all those things. But I don't want those answers. I want your real answer. I want to know where you go when you want to seek knowledge or understanding.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Where else? The Google.
The news.
The news. Siri. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes Alexa. Yeah, my kids do that. It's like, hey, Alexa, where did blah, 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 blah.
2 times 300.
Yeah, yes, that's how we learn math in my house. No, not him, you. Where do you go seek knowledge? You're of a different generation than all these old people. Your phone, what parts of your phone? Any specific apps? Social media, which social media? Because I can bet that you don't use the same social media as them. Insta, do you use Facebook? You do? Oh man, I was gonna say, of course you don't, you're not old. Do you use TikTok? Yeah? How about over here? Do you use, do we use social media? YouTube? YouTube? Yeah. TikTok, we have any TikTokers in the house? Thank goodness. All right. YouTube? All right. Facebook. Facebook is this magical place, isn't it? It's a magical place that we can go where this magical algorithm spoon feeds to us, each of us individually, the exact wisdom and knowledge that we want to hear straight to, what do we call it? A news feed, right? And speaking of news, does anyone here have a favorite 24-hour news channel? Your favorite 24-hour news channel, the one with the real news, right? Not the fake news that other 24-hour news channel has. But we also go to schools, don't we? Anyone here in school?
No.
We have people in school here, right? Institutions of higher learning, right? I'm a lifelong learner. That's why I went to seminary when I was, 38. And right now, just having finished seminary, I'm also finishing a 9-week class on Monday evenings. It's 2 hours each Monday evening. I have my 2 weeks of continuing education already scheduled for this year. Why? Because I want to gain knowledge. I want to gain understanding. I want to gain wisdom and insight and learning. I long for it. Mike said it earlier. Books. I could stop buying books. Go into my office. I could stop buying books right now today, and I could not read every single book that's all, every word of every book that's on my shelves before I die. And what am I going to do? Probably sometime within the next week, buy another book. Why? Because if I put it on my shelf, by osmosis, the wisdom and knowledge from that book will enter this brain, right? That's the benefit of not having hair, right? Right. So there is a desire, I have a desire to understand this world and this life. I want to always have the right answer, and I usually do. I want to sound smart. I want to accumulate for myself wisdom so that I can convey it to others. Now, we could say that's kind of sort of my job, right? To stand up here and convey knowledge to you. My wisdom, my knowledge, right? Does anybody have a problem with that statement? Okay, good. Glad you were listening. It's not my wisdom and knowledge that I'm up here to convey, is it? It's Jesus's. Hallelujah. Praise God. I did something right. And, his wife, my wife probably did something right. I am here, we are here, to convey God's wisdom. But before we can convey God's wisdom, we have to understand it, right? Now, I have to say, you can probably agree with me, God could have made it a little bit easier for us to understand God's wisdom, no? Because I'm going to have to say, God's wisdom sounds pretty stupid sometimes. Am I allowed to say that? I did. As the Apostle Paul says, we proclaim Christ crucified. Now, I'm not going to fully repeat last week's sermon, but let us remember what Jesus tells Peter when Peter names his desire for an earthly Messiah. Jesus tells him that his earthly desires are devilish. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," right? Jesus tells Peter that in no such uncertain terms that his idea of victory, and therefore the world's idea of victory, is of this world. If we want to participate, therefore, in the Messiah's victory, then we must follow Jesus to the cross, because that is the only place we will ever be victorious. That is where Jesus will defeat Rome and all of the earthly authorities that were before, that are now, and that are to come. And this is how this Messiah will defeat the devil, all the devil's empty promises. This is how this Messiah, this Jesus, will defeat death. And oh, by the way, if you want to participate, go find a torture device. They're lining the roads. Find a cross, pick it up, and follow Jesus. And you might just be lucky enough to be killed along with him. That is the wisdom of our God. The Apostle Paul continues. We proclaim Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. So I'm not alone in saying that this sounds ridiculous. Paul admits it too, the Apostle Paul. Why is this a stumbling block to Jews? Again, we talked about this a bit last week. What were the Jews looking for in a Messiah? Not Jesus, right? They were looking for a conquering Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to lead them to victory, earthly victory over the Romans. And what did they get? A guy that rolled over and was hoisted onto a cross. So you can imagine why that's a stumbling block to the Jew. And what about for the Gentiles, right? This is foolishness. So where was Paul writing? Paul was writing to the Corinthians, Corinth. This was a Greek city. The Greeks, right? They were interested in learning. This, what can you learn from dying? I don't know, right? They also had a different understanding of God than this God, right? So gods, to the Greeks. There were good gods, there were bad gods, there were usually not single gods, there were lots of gods. Sometimes the gods fought one another. Sometimes the gods fought humans, but usually gods stayed to themselves. Why? Because gods were gods and humans were humans. So what did the gods have to do with the humans? So for God to enflesh God's self, for God to become human, to take on flesh, to live among us, and then what? To die? Not for a bunch of noble people, not for a bunch of people that were great or even good. No, for a bunch of awful sinners. That is why God was here. That is why God took on flesh and came to this place for us to take on our sin. And I think we can agree that sounds pretty foolish. From God. So if we're meant to proclaim Christ crucified, if we are meant to proclaim this foolishness, where are we to turn? Where do we seek the knowledge and the understanding of the divine? Where do we go to seek this divine wisdom? And this time, again, that's not rhetorical, but this time I'm not going to restrict you from the Sunday school answer or from the "this is the answer my pastor wants me to say" answer. It's open. Where do you go to seek wisdom? Divine wisdom.
Church, Jesus.
You text me. That is a bad place to seek divine wisdom. Where else? Church. Tell me more about church.
Worship.
So preaching. The Bible. So what do we do when we gather here? We read scripture. Somebody said praying. Who said praying? All right, but you were at the other service. You know the answers. What else? What else?
Song.
I love that. Just read any of the lyrics of the hymns that we sing. There is a lot to be of wisdom in those lyrics. I would say the root of this wisdom is right here in this book. Not that I'm worshiping the Bible, but we have to understand what this book is, right? This book is the Word of God, right? This is how God revealed God's self to us. There were other ways. Jesus became enfleshed, right? But this is how we come to know God. Now, that's not to say that we can't find knowledge outside of church and outside of this book and outside of Jesus and all the things. For instance, where are you going to go when you want to learn how to fix your car? Come on. YouTube! YouTube. We don't open this book and turn to the prophet Isaiah, do we? No. Isaiah did not care about fixing our cars. Okay? We turn to YouTube, and there are great videos on YouTube, and those videos will tell you exactly how to get the thing that's in the bottom of the engine compartment that some stupid engineer hid from you, right? I know. Now, if you're looking for the life-giving wisdom of God, however, I would suggest to start at a source that looks an awful lot like this. The Word revealed to us in Scripture, the Bible, right? And as a supplement, perhaps come worship, hear Scripture read, hear the Word preached, and guess what? Scripture, it's really hard to understand, so sometimes when we don't understand it, we can receive the Word the literal, actual Word of God in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luther thought the Bible was pretty important. He said this: "Think of scriptures as the loftiest and noblest of all holy things, as the richest of minds which can never be fully explored, in order that you may define divine wisdom, which God here lays before you in simple guise. Here you will find the swaddling cloths and the manger in which Christ lies, and to which the angel points the shepherds. Simple and lowly are these swaddling cloths, but dear is its treasure, Jesus Christ, who lies in them." Bro, you gotta not climb on stuff. You're gonna fall. In these pages, the wisdom of God is revealed to us. And what is that wisdom of God? Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That's it. It's that simple. Except for it's really not that simple. Is it? If you are looking for earthly human wisdom, trust me, you will not find it, as hard as you try. Because guess what? We live in a world where truth, where wisdom, is relative. It comes with perspectives. We can search and search and search and search and search, and we will never find exactly what it is that we are looking for. Because guess what? If we find our truth over here, maybe on the right side of things, there are people that are going to think, at least half of everyone, that's going to think we're a bunch of idiots. Now, if we find our truth over here on the left side of things, the half of people that's over there is going to think we're a bunch of idiots over here. Human truth is hard to come by, right? So where do we go to find truth? We talked about some. YouTube. You can perhaps find some truth on YouTube, both holy, godly truth. You know, some things on there, just saying. And maybe you can find out how to fix your car. TikTok, Instagram. Maybe you can find some things on there. Snapchat, ugh, Snapchat. Facebook, ugh. Rarely will we find anything of substance on Facebook. Wikipedia, you might want to check those sources, because those little boxes above it, most of them say still need citation, right? But what about that self-help book, right? There are self-help books that promise that they are going to change your life if you can only stick to these 37 tried and true habits that the top 1% of CEOs subscribe to. Will this change your life? Is this the kind of wisdom we need? No. How about the 24-hour news network? Does it have the wisdom you need? Nah. That's just entertainment.
It has the wisdom you want.
That's right. Now, if you think I have good news for you about understanding and comprehending God's wisdom, I don't. Sorry. Because God's foolishness surpasses the most profound of all human wisdom. Luther reminds us the scriptures are the richest of minds that can never be sufficiently explored. So you could start today for the rest of your life and explore this book, explore this scripture, and you will never fully understand it. Mine away. Go for it. I can spend my entire life mining these scriptures and the millions upon millions upon millions of books that have been written about these scriptures. And guess what? I cannot bring myself to understand God's infinite wisdom of God enfleshed in Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. I cannot, by my own wisdom or knowledge or understanding, accept the proclamation of Christ crucified. It does not make sense. And I certainly do not, by my own power or words or ability, proclaim the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is Christ crucified and risen. So do we just end on bad news then? No, we don't. Because thank God, literally thank God, for faith. Not for wisdom or knowledge or understanding. Because God's wisdom, we know it's utter foolishness, right? Unless we're saved. Unless we're saved. That's what Paul tells us today. For those who are not saved, God's wisdom is foolishness. Knowledge or wisdom or understanding or works, they do not save. We are saved through grace by faith alone. We are saved through grace by faith alone. We are saved. Eh? There you go. But I don't want us to get too comfortable with that. I want us to sit on that and try to think about what that means, but you will still not fully understand. It is a grace that is freely bestowed, and it is an incomprehensible. It is a foolish grace made available to us only by Jesus Christ. But the faith, that has to be our job, right? We do the faith part, right? That's why we have altar calls here in the Lutheran Church. All right, everybody, who's ready to proclaim their faith? Come on up. No? Oh, we don't do altar calls. So faith, it's not ours. Faith's not ours, is it? So when you are, let's walk back here. These waters of baptism, when we, dunk your head in this water, when we sprinkle this water on, what happens? You're baptized. Who does the baptizing? Do I do the baptizing? Not really. Who does the baptizing? Who does it? You're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is in those waters of baptism where we are claimed by God. It is not in those waters of baptism where you claim God. It is not where you go tell other people, look at me, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because you can't. You never will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not your job. Get over it. It's fine. You are not called to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because in those waters, Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, claimed and accepted you. The work has already been done. That is tremendous good news. Luther tells us this: I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I cannot come to Jesus Christ. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me. The Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, through this word, has enlightened me with his gifts, has made me holy, and has kept me in the true faith. That's right. Your faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our faith is the work of God. God claims us. We do not claim God. That's right. Even our faith is not our work. You've heard me preach this before. And if you keep not understanding it, I'm going to make you do an altar call, and then maybe you'll understand. Now, if you can understand that our faith is not our work, please come explain it to me, because I do not understand it. But guess what? I don't need to understand it. I don't need signs. I don't need wisdom. You don't need signs. You don't need wisdom. There's only one thing that I need. There's only one thing that you need. There's only one thing that any of us here need. That is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And it is for that good news that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. I didn't plan to play in the water today. That was fun. Oops.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge
Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, for the well-being of creation, and for all the world in need.
You renew creation. Drive out those who would make the earth a marketplace. Protect rainforests, mountaintops, oceans, and wilderness areas from commercial exploitation. Unite nations, policymakers, and businesses in efforts to sustain this world for all generations to come. Protect us in the way of natural disasters, including Texas wildfires, California flooding, and regional tornadoes, that lives and livelihoods may be restored. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You alone are God. We thank you for the gift of your laws that govern our relationship with you and with one another. Awaken the church to the mystery of your presence and move us with the power of the Holy Spirit. What great plans you have for your people. We think we know what is right, but help us to recognize that even your foolishness surpasses our greatest wisdom. Open our hearts and minds to new possibilities and relationships, and keep us open to renewing those that are broken. Especially this day, we pray for First Lutheran and St. Paul in North Robinson in a new and forming relationship. And we continue to pray for peace, St. John's and Trinity Lutheran. Sustain them and their ministries and open us all to the possibility of future life together. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You judge the nations. We pray for an end to war and strife in every land, especially Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, and Israel, many regions of the Sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia, those places torn by drug and gang violence, especially our neighbors, Mexico and Haiti. Strengthen international efforts to negotiate peace and provide humanitarian aid to people fleeing from conflict. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You bring healing and hope. We give thanks for physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and public health workers who prevent and treat illness. We pray for any who are sick, especially Holly, Robert, Jake, Tony, David, Ed, Todd, Paul, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Wilma, the homebound and those in assisted living facilities, for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today we lift those to you from our prayer chain whose health is improving or has been restored, and we offer to you prayers of thanksgiving for Karen, Marianne, Dwayne, Ken, Amanda, and those that we lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today we lift to you a special prayer of thanksgiving for Becca, for Miriam, for the gift of life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You abide with your people. Sustain any in this community undergoing life transitions, marriage, divorce, childbirth, adoption, moving, graduation, employment change, personal or family illness, or death. We pray for those preparing for baptism and confirmation across your great church. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We now continue with our gifts and our offerings.
pray. Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name.
Amen. As we bless this meal, I wanted to name that we are also blessing a kit for home communion, which serves as a reminder for us that we have those who are homebound and in assisted living facilities, and that we do have people that go out and serve communion to them. And it's a reminder for those who cannot come to join us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, you call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, saying to his disciples, Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Though we cannot fully understand the power of this gift, come to the table, eat and drink, where all are welcome, where all are restored, and where we are gathered together with those who commune in absence.
This is the body of Christ broken.
May remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Generous God, at this table we have tasted your immeasurable grace. As grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, now make us one loaf to feed the world. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life.
Amen. All right, for a few quick announcements. Next Sunday, get in your Easter lily orders, if you want Easter lilies, I mean. If not, don't. Lenten services continue on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at St. Paul in North Robinson. We will continue this week on our Ten Commandments. I think we're picking up on number 4. If you want to see the previous ones, go to the aforementioned YouTube and Google and Facebook and find them. There are some videos out there of the reflections from those two, the last two, if you would like to catch up. What?
Cookies.
Oh yeah, bring your money for the Girl Scouts next Sunday to buy their cookies. They'll be selling them. Also, speaking of cookies, so let's hear it for whoever made the cookies. We should have warned you that the kids made the cookies before you ate them. I don't know. Anyway, the kids ate and made the cookies last Sunday in a lesson on hospitality. So thank you to those who helped with that. I think Cindy, Barb, and Tammy, who is not here, and to the kids for doing that. So, and what? You were impressed with the artwork? I'll have to go check that out. Are there any other announcements this morning? Mike. So it sounds like if you want to come eat at the City Lenten, is that what you're asking for people to come eat?
No.
Oh, you need chili. I was confused. They need help making food, not eating food. So check out the sign-up sheet in the gathering area. Any other announcements this morning? All right. Seeing and hearing none, please stand as you're able to do so in your hearts or in your body and spirits for a blessing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, be with us now and forever. Amen.